This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. Kristen Phillips is one of two physical therapists in West Virginia specializing in women's health. In the next episode of our occasional series, Windows into Healthcare, health reporter Carol Lofton talks with Phillips about the main issues she sees in her practice. A warning to listeners, this episode includes detailed descriptions of women's health issues and may not be appropriate for all listeners. The interview runs about 8 minutes.
So the majority of cases that I see deal with women who are struggling with urinary incontinence, so leaking urine when they don't want to. It's seen as something normal and expected related to pregnancy and bearing children, but it is a common misconception that totally doesn't have to be normal or something that you live with just because you decided to have kids. And then the other cases that I see are women who are currently pregnant and dealing with issues or pain related to their pregnancy, usually pelvic pain, hip pain, and low back pain. And again, unfortunately, a lot of us think that pain related to pregnancy is normal and expected, which certainly when you're creating a human life and carrying extra weight and things are shifting and moving, there are certainly some aches and pains associated with that, but it doesn't have to be debilitating and limiting function.
Okay, so let's back up. As a woman of childbearing age who does not have kids, the idea of like leaking is totally new. And it probably is for a lot of our male listeners and, you know, non-mother female listeners. How common is this that people experience this and have to deal with it?
So the prevalence in young women, and this is all kinds of urinary incontinence, not necessarily related to childbirth, is about 20 to 30%. In middle-aged women, the numbers are 30 to 40%, and then in elderly women, the numbers are thought to be about 30 to 50%. So that particular study did not necessarily take into account women who have delivered babies or not, but it is significantly more common to experience leakage if you have delivered.
And by incontinence, we mean basically keeping the urine in the body when you want it to be in the body.
Exactly.
How do you do physical therapy for that?
It depends. So the pelvic floor that I talked about, those muscles reside inside the pelvis. So they live inside the vagina and the rectum. So generally, a pelvic floor assessment for someone who's dealing with these issues will involve a pelvic exam where I'm looking at these muscles. However, it's not exactly like a gynecological pelvic exam. My interest, because I'm a physical therapist, I'm still interested in the muscles and their function. So I may do an internal exam with a gloved finger to assess the strength of these muscles, the coordination of these muscles, and the general tone of them. Now, it's important to remember that the pelvic floor isn't the only muscle that contributes to continence. So our abdominals are super important in supporting all of those organs, as well as muscles of our hips and our low back. Many studies demonstrate that when someone's given verbal cues alone, so I tell you to activate or engage or squeeze your pelvic floor, the majority of women are actually performing them incorrectly. So 51% of women do not do a pelvic floor activation correctly. I'm sure you've heard the word Kegel. So generally, people have an idea of what they think a Kegel is, but the majority of the time, they are not, in fact, doing it appropriately.
You mentioned that one of the other things that you work on is women who are pregnant and who are experiencing pelvic, low back, hip pain. What types of exercises or what type of therapy do you do with those women? Because they are, they do have a bowling ball with them. It makes things challenging.
So generally, exercises are... Have you seen those big yoga balls, the big stability balls? So I love those for pregnant women to strengthen their core and their hips. We can do exercises lying on their side. There are many exercises that are totally safe in standing. And fairly recently, the guidelines regarding pregnancy and exercise have changed. And for a while, we were recommending that if a woman was sedentary prior to pregnancy, that she shouldn't start a new exercise. But we're reframing our thoughts because if a woman is pregnant and exercising, her outcomes postpartum are far superior. So the better physically fit and active, and the more active you are during pregnancy, the better outcomes you have postpartum. So we are starting to encourage even sedentary women to find a safe exercise that they can do while they're pregnant. And generally, people who haven't exercised before need a little bit of help knowing what's safe. So that's something I might help them find.
So there's one other thing that you said that I thought was super interesting. You said you can do physical therapy for sexual dysfunction.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me a little bit about that.
When it comes to sexual dysfunction, there are a handful of issues that may contribute to the dysfunction, and the dysfunction itself can vary. So some women have issues if they're engaging in penetrative intercourse. They have pain with penetration. These women usually also have issues with inserting tampons and with pelvic exams at their yearly gynecology visits. However, not always. Then there are some women who can't tolerate anything on even the outside of the vagina. Or they might have that urinary incontinence during intercourse or with orgasm. And then some women have difficulty achieving orgasm. Those, again, are not all of the things that might happen or someone might be dealing with when it comes to sexual dysfunction. But let's say someone is having pain with penetration, which is common. We work a lot on what's called down training, or teaching those muscles how to relax and allow for something to be inserted. Someone who has difficulty achieving orgasm, they might be someone who has what's called a low tone or a weak pelvic floor, or even a weak abdominal core. If you don't have those muscles, if they're not strong enough, they won't be able to have that strong, powerful contract relax, which is part of a sexual orgasm or climax. It is a very personal physical therapy, but it's really empowering because a lot of these women suffer in silence and they think that they just have to kind of suck it up and deal with it, or they're not living their fullest life and they're avoiding intimacy altogether, which is an integral part of any long-term relationship or marriage. So they don't have to suffer. There is help.
And this is, I mean, like, when we think of sexual dysfunction, we think of, like, the need for Viagra or something. I mean, this is actual pain versus sexual drive, so to speak.
Yes. However, once you have pain associated with this experience, it's not uncommon then to experience a decreased drive or desire arousal. Understandably, if something doesn't feel good, you wouldn't want to participate in it. That's a normal response to pain, but then that can contribute to further dysfunction because now you don't even have the desire to do it because it once hurt.
Appalachia Health News is a project of West Virginia Public Broadcasting with support from Marshall Health, Charleston Area Medical Center, and WVU Medicine. West Virginia Republicans have said one of their biggest priorities this legislative session is tax reform. Host of the legislature today, Andrea Lanham, spoke with Senate President Mitch Carmichael and House Speaker Tim Armstead about one piece of that tax reform, eliminating the business inventory tax. Here's part of that discussion from last night's show.
Now, another thing that's been discussed is the business inventory tax and eliminating that. How are plans shaping in the House and Senate?
Well, first of all, I would say that this is one of those taxes. If we go back 20 to 30 years in our history of our state, and we've been looking at what are those roadblocks that are keeping people from getting put back to work, And one of those things is our tax structure. And there were three basic areas where we've looked at for over 30 years that we're really not competitive in. We've addressed some of those issues, but one of the ones that we still have not addressed, and I've got with me here a copy of the Governor's Commission on Tax on Fair Taxation from Governor Underwood's administration in 1999 that talks about the need to eliminate the equipment inventory tax in order to create jobs in our state. And so we've been talking about this for over 20 years, and two tax studies have looked at this and both concluded that this was a problem in our tax structure. So this is a tax that other states don't charge. It's a tax that is so bad in West Virginia that when we try to attract a manufacturing company or an inventory company to the state, we find some workaround to get make sure that they don't have to pay it, but every other business does. So it's important, I think, that we do that. We have, I believe, a plan now in place that we can do this without hurting counties and school systems, which no one wants to do. And I think it's the first time that I really see a true prospect of being able to move forward to eliminate this tax, which kills jobs in our state.
Yeah, the speaker's 100% correct on this. This tax has been identified by every independent entity that studies the West Virginia tax code as the single biggest job-killing tax in the state. And so when we see something like that, we said, let's find a way to get rid of this onerous, burdensome tax that costs West Virginia jobs, money, and opportunity. So I think there's a united front to finally get rid of this tax and do the right thing and put some West Virginians to work by eliminating this tax.
Let me just say, if I could, this would be a constitutional amendment. The people of West Virginia would have the opportunity to vote on this before it went forward. And I think that we certainly can make the case to the people of our state that this will help them be able to bring their children, their grandchildren back to West Virginia and create additional jobs that give them that opportunity. So I'm very excited about it. I think it's the closest we've come in talking about it for over two decades to truly moving forward with it.
And this money goes to the counties. I know it's like $20 million a year, mm-hmm. which would represent that loss. And this goes to funding for schools. What are we going to do to keep the counties whole?
Well, you'll see in the, as the speaker alluded to, in the constitutional amendment, there will be an absolute guarantee to the counties of that money each year. The money that they're currently collecting will be guaranteed going forward in perpetuity. So the counties are absolutely protected.
That was the Legislature Today host Andrea Lanham speaking with West Virginia Senate President Mitch Carmichael and House Speaker Tim Armstead. You can catch the Legislature Today at 6 p.m. weeknights on West Virginia Public Broadcasting or anytime at wvpublic.org. A new feature this year on our show, The Legislature Today, is a segment we'd like to call I'd Like to Know. We're taking questions from the public directly to lawmakers. Here's a question from a local social worker.
My name's Felicia Rourke, and I'm from St. Albans, West Virginia. And from our lawmakers, I want to know, how are we addressing the accessibility of mental health services? Because my patients are suffering, waiting 3 months to access psychiatric outpatient services, as well as crisis intervention services into mental health hospitals.
Well, as you're aware, psychiatric and mental health issues are a broad range. We've been trying to deal with our substance abuse problems, which is also part of that, but also making accessibility for mental health. You may be aware that under our Medicaid program, DHHR has tried to put psychiatric and mental health issues into the MCOs, the managed care organizations that we have for Medicaid, making it accessible for people to be in certain centers and get outpatient treatments. So that's one avenue that we've done to make it more accessible. We've also tried, there are only so many centers throughout the state, we're also trying to look at making facilities available, particularly from our substance abuse issues, for treatment centers for people to be able to obtain treatments. So those are areas we've been working on actively.
That was the chairman of the House Health Committee, Delegate Joe Ellington, a Republican from Mercer County. He was answering a question from Felicia Rourke, a social worker from St. Albans. We want to hear more questions. If you have a question, you can email it to wvidliketoknow@wvpublic.org. Find out more on our website, wvpublic.org. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our producer is Glennis Board. I'm Teresa Wills.